All right. Why don't you guys open your Bibles to the book of John? We're going to continue. We're beginning chapter 6. And as you're turning there, I do a little recap. Ken went over chapter 5. And there's one of my favorite chapters or stories in John is this man at the pool of Bethesda who's crippled. He can't get into the water, you know, when the water stirs, and he's discouraged and he's depressed, and he's been in this situation for a long time. And there were three things that I really got out of that story. And in this encounter, just in overcoming our own kind of blindness, or lameness, or our own disabilities, our own, you know, hang-ups that we have. And Jesus deals with those in that story. And the first thing we see is Jesus goes up to this man and he says, I'm going to ask you to do the impossible. And he asks the guy to stand up when he can't. He hasn't been able to. And Jesus says, stand up and rise. And the second thing that Jesus says to this guy is I want you to pick up your bed, or your pallet, as the passage says. Pick it up. So not only stand up, but bend over and pick that up. And in doing so, he's making no provision for failure. And the guy could have left his bed there and said, well, I'm going to leave this here just in case this doesn't work. You know, Jesus says, stand up, pick up your bed, and go, right? And make no provision for failure. How many times do you and I, like, allow, not quite shut the door on something? Maybe we're struggling with a sin, or maybe we've got an issue we're dealing with, and we're really trying to go forward, but we always might, like, leave something there just in case. And Jesus says, you know what? Take your mat and go, because he may have been tempted to just leave it and say, well, in case this thing doesn't stick, in case this healing goes away, I want my spot, because remember, he wants to be, you know, as close to the water as he can be to get help, to be put there. And in case it doesn't work out, he's kind of making, avoiding making provision for backsliding or falling or relying on that old place. And then the third thing he does is he tells the guy to walk. And what I loved about that is that he says, no one's going to carry you. And this is a huge message for us. Nobody's going to carry us. Get up. He tells the guy, get up. Stop your whining. You know, stop whining about your circumstances. Pick up your mat. Don't leave anything behind you. Make no provision for backsliding or returning to the place you're currently in. And third, walk. Nobody is going to force you. Nobody's going to carry you. Nobody's going to do it for you. So, and what we have a tendency to do what this man did. And when Jesus asks, do you want to be healed? The guy says, this is what blew my mind, is Jesus says, do you want to be healed? And the guy says, I have no one to carry me. And, you know, we want somebody to do the work for us. And that's the hard part, that we want what's easy. We don't want to go through the hard parts. We don't want to do what's hard. And we want, do we really want to be healed? What's God telling us to do? You know, whatever it is, whatever God is telling us to do, it can be judged against the Word of God. We can always judge it. And I can promise you that whatever God is leading us to do, He is going to provide us the means in which to do it. God is not going to call you to go do something that He isn't going to equip you to do. So if you're facing some kind of, like I think about where you guys are headed, that's a huge deal. I mean, that could be a scary thing. Yet God is calling you to do this. You're following that, and He's going to equip you. He's got a purpose, and He's going to make sure you're covered in everything that you're doing. And each one of us, whether that be we go somewhere, or we go somewhere for different for school, or we have to make a job for, or a decision about a job, or just relationships, whatever it is, if God's even asking you to forgive someone, maybe somebody's really hurt you, Maybe someone has burned you. Maybe something has happened. And God's saying, forgive them. He's going to equip you with the ability to do that. Through His Spirit, you have the ability to forgive. And we're going to actually kind of get into this a little bit today, that it's really our attitude that needs examination. You know, what is our attitude towards God's call and God's provision? This is where we're going to pick up today in chapter 6. So if you'll follow with me, it begins, after these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, to Tiberias, and a great multitude was following him, because they were seeing the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a great multitude was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread that these may eat?" And this he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. And Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many people?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in a number of 5,000. Jesus therefore took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." And so they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. When therefore the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, "This is of a truth, the prophet who has come into the world." How many of you have read this story before? Jesus feeds 5,000, right? Most of us have read this. This story blows my mind, and we've read over the years these missionary classics to our kids, and there was one on Hudson Taylor, and missionary Hudson Taylor had complete trust in God's faithfulness. And if you ever, you know, if you have not read about Hudson Taylor and what he's done, you really should. It's pretty inspiring. But there's a quote, and he says, "Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that His children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect He will send 3 million missionaries into China, but if He did, He would have ample means to sustain them all. So depend on God, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply." You know, obviously, Hudson Taylor was a missionary in China, and he's had some pretty amazing stories. But listen to that last sentence. He says, "God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply." The problem is not God. You know, the problem is our attitude toward God's provision. And we find 3 of these attitudes in John 6 in this story. And this is what I want to look at today. It's just 3 things that we can see attitude-wise in this story of feeding of the 5,000. First of all, the first attitude is man's provision, or man relying on his own strength. So we see in verse 5, it says, "Jesus therefore lifting up his eyes and seeing the great multitude was coming to him, and said to Philip, 'Where are we to buy bread that these may eat?' And this he was saying to test him, for he himself knew that what he was intending to do. And Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive just a little." So Jesus here, he asks this question to his disciple, "Where shall we buy bread for these men to eat?" I mean, did you wonder when you read the story, why does he ask this question? He's Jesus, he's God. He knows the answer already. Why does he ask any questions? But he's about to teach something to the people that God's provision is always better than our best efforts. Always. Philip answers here. He says 200 denarii worth of bread isn't sufficient for them. Well, he could have turned to the Lord simply and said, why don't you feed them? You know, why don't you do it? But he stresses instead, and he says, even in our best efforts couldn't produce enough food to feed this mass of people. 200 denarii was a lot of money. I mean, a denarii was one day's wage. So you imagine 200 days of wages to buy bread for this crowd wasn't even enough to give them a little. That's a lot. And this right here shows us that man's provision, this shows us what man's provision does. It gives you very little, and it always leaves you wanting more. Man's provision never satisfies. And what's funny about this, when you think about this, I have worked in this corporate field for all my life, and I know some very, very wealthy people. And one guy that I worked for a couple of years, he was a self-made millionaire. He started off very, very poor, and when I worked for him, he was worth multi-millions. And when I asked him, one day we sat down in my office and we were talking, and I said to him, I go, I got to ask you this question. And he was only about, I think he was 5 years older than I was. So, you know, we really kind of talked well and related well. But we were sitting in my office, and I said to him, I go, when is enough enough? I go, when do you stop this and just go and enjoy life? You could sell your company right now and you could live the rest of your life very comfortably and do whatever you want to do. I go, when is enough enough? And he looked at me without even missing a beat, and he laughed and he said, it's never enough. He goes, this is a game, and you play the game until you die. And I looked at him, and I was so overcome, and I was sad by his comment, because I thought, well, then you die unfulfilled and unsatisfied. What was worth it? Why was it worth it? But his comment to me, I'll never forget, as he looked at me with just no doubt in his answer, it's never enough. And I thought, wow, dude, okay, well, here, dump some of that over this way. You know, come on. Share the wealth, buddy, because give me a million. That'll be enough for me. But, you know, in this issue here, this isn't just about money. It's really about you and I battling our will. We must stop trying to do everything in our own efforts. We've got to learn to be still and know that He's God, and that He can and He will take care of us if we allow Him to. Self-reliance is not the key. So that's our first issue, is man's provision is not the way we should be looking, okay? The second attitude or the issue that we see here is man's unbelief towards God's provision, okay? So we see self-reliance. We've got to do it first. And then the second thing we see is we have a doubt of God's provision. We doubt it. And we see it in verse 8. It says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many people? This is really odd if you think about it. Andrew comes onto the scene, and he reminds me of a lot of Christians today, that they know what Jesus can do, but they're really not certain he can do it. And I'm so guilty at this, because I've gone into the grocery store, and you know, and I'm an extrovert in the worst way. So I will talk to anybody, anywhere, anytime, and it drives my family crazy. And there have been many times where I've been standing in the grocery store, and I really feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to talk to somebody. And for the most part, I will. But when I don't is when I see someone who's disabled or someone who's got an issue, and I really feel like I should go pray for a healing. And I'm like, ooh, no, I'm not going to go there. Because, yeah, God could heal him, absolutely. But what if he doesn't? What if I say, hey, can I pray for you that God would, you know, maybe heal you? What if I lay my hands and pray for this person and God doesn't heal him? Then I'm going to look really stupid. Then I'm going to be like, oh, well, sorry, you know. And so then I believe wholeheartedly that God can heal this person, but yet I don't really know if he will, you know. That to me, you know, I know that God has the ability or the power, but I'm not quite certain he's going to do it. I mean, why does Andrew bring this up here? Why did he even bring this kid with this little amount of food anyway? Do you guys know that this is the retelling of a story in the Old Testament? Do you know that this isn't the first time this has happened? Here's one little kid in the midst of thousands of people, and most didn't even notice this boy, right, with his little bread and fish, you know, package. I'll bet that Andrew knew the story from 2 Kings. Why don't you turn your Bible, turn it to 2 Kings chapter 4. These men knew the Word of God. They knew, you know, the Old Testament, you know, stories. And I'll bet this is what Andrew was thinking. This is recalling. In 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 38, we read, Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in that region. While the company of the prophets was meeting with him, he said to his servant, "Put out a large pot and cook some stew for these men." One of them went out into the fields to gather herbs and found a wild vine. He gathered some of its gourds and filled the fold of his cloak, and when he returned, he cut them up into the pot of stew, though no one knew what they were. This stew was poured out for the men, and as they began to eat it, they cried out, "Oh, man of God, there is death in this pot." And they could not eat it. Now, I laugh because that's probably what everybody at Stacy's party would say had I been in charge of food. "Oh, man of God, what did you serve us? Holy cow, are you trying to kill us?" So, we'll go on. Verse 42, and a man from Baal Shalishah, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley bread baked from its first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain, "Give it to the people to eat," Elisha said. "How can I set this before 100 men?" his servant asked. But Elisha answered, "Give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says, they will eat and have some left over." Then he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over according to the Lord. Isn't that interesting? So here, he's got this 100 men and this small amount of food, and Elisha says, "Give it to the guys." God says, "Let them eat." And somehow God does this miracle and multiplies the food. The people all eat, and they're full, and there's leftover. Now, we see this just a few years before, right? I mean, Elisha was, maybe it was a little more than a few. But here Andrew recalls this story. I'll bet anything. And he sees this little kid, and he takes him to the Lord. Hey, look at what we've got here. He knew this. The only difference is there were 5,000 instead of 100. And now there's 5 loaves of barley and not 20. So Andrew, he sees this provision, but he doubts, just as many of us doubt today, I think. And remember, I still hold on to what Hudson Taylor said, that God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. And yet here, God met the need and fed these people. And I mean, even Philippians 4:19, you know what that verse says? God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ. God will meet your needs, not necessarily your wants. It doesn't say your wants, it's your needs, according to his riches, his glorious riches in Christ. Three attitudes. First, the first two need adjusted for us. Trying to live independently of God, being self-sufficient, relying on our own strength, doubting the Lord that he can or will meet our needs. And the last issue that I want to look at, there's this godly attitude. And in verse 10, back in John, Jesus says, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in a number of 5,000. And just before, Jesus therefore took the loaves, having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, filled 12 baskets with the fragments from the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. So Jesus says, have the guys sit down. This isn't just a statement that we want to read and skip over. The first thing I think of when Jesus says to these guys is have them sit down is two ladies. Two ladies that were very close to Jesus. One chose to sit down, and one chose to be riddled with duty. Mary and Martha, okay? And I immediately thought of them. We know that one chose to sit at Jesus' feet and listen and be fed and be ministered to, where the other, she got all uptight and she was caught up in duty and life and circumstances and responsibility and she was frustrated. And Jesus says, hey, she chose the better. I was immediately remembering that passage when I read this, that Jesus tells the men, sit down, get off your feet, sit down, sit at my feet, sit down and just relax. Sit down. This is where you and I need to start when we enter God's provision. When we're sitting at his feet. Prayer, I think, is one of the best things we can do. And so many times I think we say, well, all I can do is pray. Is that all you can do? Is pray to the creator of the universe who's listening and intervene for somebody or intercede for someone? That's all you can do? That is like the first and best and foremost thing that we can do is to pray, is to seek, you know, God's face on something. Jesus, he takes the loaves and he gives thanks for it. He prays, he gives thanks. And this is what you and I should do instead of complaining about what we don't have or complaining about where we might find ourselves or our circumstances. We need to thank God for what he has given us. And I think if you take the time to stand back a second and really evaluate, what do you have? I had a rotten week. It was a terrible week. Extremely busy. Very stressful. Very sad. Not only did I deal with the death of a friend, but I came into work late that day and then had my boss and one of my peers came in and we had this meeting and they put it on me that I needed to fire the owner's son. I'm like, nice guys. Thanks, I got to fire the owner's son. And not only was that a drag, but this is a kid that I've been kind of mentoring and helping and really trying to work with him. He just wasn't cutting it. And I needed to let him go. And so, you know, this week was awful. And it just kind of went, you know, we had a couple of good things during the week. I mean, my wife and I had our 26th wedding anniversary on Wednesday, and that was exciting. But you know, we got caught up, and there were so many things with funerals and this and that I really was frustrated until I made a little trip over to Sarah and Colton's, and I got to hold my granddaughter. And then everything else melted away. And I remembered what I'd been given and what God has done in our family. And we just kind of needed to stop and get away from that and just to hold this precious little life. I mean, you got to look at her. She's just, and I'm looking at your daughter. She's so dang cute. And I think that sometimes we just forget what we have. We forget how we've been blessed. Seriously, guys, it doesn't take much to remind us of how blessed we really are. You know, we need to thank God for what we've been given. It might seem maybe like a little in the eyes of the world, but God really can use that in a great and a powerful way when we take time to just stop and give him thanks. Are you in a bad mood? Are you cranky? Are you upset? You tired? You're worn out? Whatever. Stop for a second. Go alone somewhere and start just thanking God for some of the things in your life. Even if you don't feel like it, the last thing you want to do, do it. Go somewhere quiet and say, okay, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I have a place to live. Thank you that I've got actually a bed and a pillow to lay my head on. Thank you, Lord, that I can walk into my kitchen at any given time and eat something. You know, thank you that I've got clothes to wear. You know, I mean, you can just start down the list And I guarantee you, if you do that and you continue through that process, your attitude will start to change of, you know, wow, you know what, I'm really blessed. God has really blessed me amazingly. We need to do that. We need to notice God's provision for us. In verse 11, he says, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, stop. It says in verse 12, and when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. This is it right here. God's provision will fill you up completely. It said, when they were filled, then they gathered up everything and took the leftovers so nothing was wasted. Well, who cares if it was wasted? Who cares? They were full, right? I mean, God met the need, right? No. The men were full. They were content. Jesus said, let them have as much as they want, and they couldn't even eat it all, and they filled up 12 baskets afterwards. So let me ask you this morning, you know, are you running on empty? Have you been seeking or engaging in activities that leave you empty or needing more? Are you content? If you aren't, if you can't say that I'm filled, I want you to know that Jesus wants to fill you up. He wants to meet that need. He wants to fill you completely till it's overflowing. And there's leftovers that spills out onto others. Only Jesus can do that. Not success, not title, not power, not money, not substance. Nothing that we can try in our own flesh to fill that need or to erase that pain or to heal the wound, nothing that we can do can fill that and fix it. Man's provision, we can't. Look at the world we live in. It's full of sex. It's full of substance. It's full of everything to try and meet that inner need that we're all dying from, right? And the world just keeps going and going and going and going. It's sad. When I drive down the freeway to work, I'm on the freeway at 114 South, and I take it all the way to the interchange to 21st South, and so many billboards are on plastic surgery, enhancements, you know, all of these cosmetic things, on diet, on image. And you just think, when is enough enough? Stacy and I, we were at a store this week, and this lady, elderly lady, she was trying so desperately to look like Barbie. And it was just like, wow, could you just grow old gracefully, please? Wow. Why do we do this? Nothing satisfies that we can do. The only thing is sitting down at his feet and allowing him to fill that need. Nothing we can do is going to do it. And this is the lesson that I get out of this feeding of 5,000, that Jesus is the only one. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, we sit at his feet. We submit to him. Maybe we shut off the TV and we open up our Bible. Maybe we you know, go somewhere quiet and we sit and be still and know that he's God and talk and pray. You know, maybe we go out and serve somebody else instead of ourselves. I don't know. For each one of us, it's individual. It's different. It's unique. But each one of us has a talent, a skill, an ability. We have something that God has created us uniquely to do. And when we operate in God's way, you know, doing it his way, he will provide what we need in every circumstance. This morning, I want to encourage you. I want you to find that place. I want you to, you know, seek his face. And what I love about this passage is that it says they gathered up 12 baskets full. They kept it, so none was left, which means there's still more to eat. Nothing to be lost. We can come to the table. We can come into his presence at any time and get fed again and more and more. Every time we need something, we can come to God and he'll provide it. And I love that. God's provision. This is how it is. And, you know, we're not just talking about physical food, but we're also talking about spiritual food. Matthew 4:4 says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Where are you this morning? What attitude do you have? Are you relying on your own provision and power? Do you know that God can and supply? God can and will supply your need? Are you relying on His provision and trusting in Him completely? That's where we should be. So I want to encourage you this week, kind of slow down. Take some time out of our busy, crazy life that we all lead and just be still and seek His face and ask Him to fill you. Amen? Couple of you? Amen, right? Let's pray. Lord, I do thank You so much for Your word. I thank You. Lord, I don't get it. I don't know how You do these things, but I'm thankful that You do. I'm thankful, Lord, that we have the freedom to come here this morning and to just chew on Your word. I thank You, Lord, that we're sitting in a cool building, that we all have so many things that You've blessed us with. We are so blessed. Compared to so many people in the world, Father, we are just rich beyond comparison. You have chosen to bless us amazingly. Even more so, God, You have opened up our eyes and you help us to see truth. You have chosen us. We don't deserve that. But I thank You, Father, that You have. I thank You that You forgive us. I thank You that You paid the price for our sins so that we don't have to burn in hell for eternity. So we don't have to be out of Your presence in darkness for eternity. You have given us that. I thank You, Lord, that it's not based on anything we can do, on our own provision and our own efforts, but that it's based on all that You have done. Lord, I don't get it, but I thank You for it. I thank You for all that You're doing in our lives. I thank You that You're holding our little church together and our families and our lives together, and that You just continually operate in our lives. Lord, we love You, and I pray that You would teach us how to love You even more. Teach us how to surrender to You, how to put down our will, and how to just trust You and seek Your face. Lord, we love You, and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.